Orange County Parks Commission meeting. If you'll please all rise and join in the pledge, and Pam leads my group.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, roll call, please.
Chair Schauber.
Here.
Vice Chair Warren.
Here.
Commissioner Diaz. Commissioner Hansen.
Here.
Commissioner Jones. And then Commissioner Gabbard.
Yes.
Chair, we have quorum.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm going to open public comments at this time. Members of the public may address us on any issues within our jurisdiction. Anything that's not on the agenda, you can speak on when we get to that agenda item. This is just for general comments. If you wish to make a public comment, please make sure you have filled out a speaker form. It's not too late. And come on up, and we'll limit your time to 3 minutes. So you have a request to speak.
Yes, we have 2 requests to speak.
Oh, thank you. Okay, our first person will be Jeff Curry, please.
E-bikes aren't the exception anymore. They're quickly becoming the norm. This isn't a trend, it's a fundamental shift in how people experience the outdoors. Cars are electric, skateboards are electric, even motorcycles are evolving to new forms, like that Suron motor e-bike. But mountain bikes are no different. Right now, more than half the mountain bikes on our trails are already Class 1 pedal assist. Within 5 years, 80% of all the bikes on our trails may have motors. This is a good thing. This shift isn't just about technology, it's about who gets to enjoy our trails. E-mountain bikes keep older riders on the trails many years longer, allowing them to keep doing what they love while reducing strain on their bodies. They're making it possible for families to ride together, where kids, parents, and even grandparents can keep up with each other. And they're introducing a new generation of young riders to mountain biking, opening up our open spaces to people who may not have otherwise had access. That's the kind of use we want to encourage. More people, more families, and more lifelong riders enjoying the land responsibly. But instead, park policy creates a division where 50% of the riders are forced into the shadows, avoiding the rangers, feeling like lawbreakers just for riding a bike that we cyclists see for our own eyes and studies confirm are not a problem. Communities all around are already updating their laws. The County of San Diego now allows Class 1 bikes to share their trails, carving out a single habitat-sensitive trail. I'm providing a copy of this newly signed policy from San Diego for your review. Chino Hills and many others are including Class 1 bikes now. My name is Jeff Curie. I live in Laguna Niguel. My e-bike there has been to the top of Saddleback twice. I have 4,000 miles on that bike, and it's been the whole time hiding from rangers. Thank you for your time today and for considering this important issue. I appreciate the Commission's commitment to balancing recreation, conservation, and public safety. Today we are asking the Commission to allow Class 1 pedal assist mountain bikes to use the same legal trails as mountain bikes. I am submitting a proposal that outlines a practical plan to 1, educate riders and parents of all kinds of e-bikes, 2, create a volunteer community of e-bike riders who register as stewards of our trails, and 3, the legalese changes necessary to adopt Class 1 in our county. These are practical, easy to deploy changes that will have a long-lasting impact. This isn't just about access, it's about joining together to create a community of stewards on our trails. E-bikes are already here. We can either plan for them or struggle to manage them later. We have a proven framework, legal clarity from the state of California, and precedent set by San Diego and other counties. I urge you to approve this request and to establish a working group to ensure a responsible, community-driven approach to managing Class 1 e-bikes. Thank you.
Thank you. And do you have your documents for the staff? Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Perfect. All right, next person will be
Tolentino.
Randy
Tolentino. Tolentino, sorry.
Are you Italian?
No.
Okay, that's okay. My wife is.
Hello, Council. My name is Randy Tolentino. I am an Irvine, Orange County resident, and I'm an avid cyclist on road and off. In OC Park trails, Class 1 e-mountain bikes are not allowed, and I wish that OC Parks rethinks this decision. For those unaware of the three-class e-bike system, that bike over there, this bike over here, is an example of a Class 1 e-mountain bike. It's a pedal assist bike, meaning that there's no throttle, there's no hand throttle, and the only way for that power to help you is if you're actually pedaling. That assist feature is only used on the uphill portions of a ride, because on the downhill portion, gravity works a lot better. The pedal assist feature is one of the biggest differences with e-bikes, along with the higher power motors that some of the Class 2 and Class 3 bikes will have. The difference between Class 2 and Class 3 is in regards to the top speeds, which a Class 2 can go 20 miles an hour and a Class 3 can go 28 miles an hour. Super 73s are what you see your local middle or high schoolers riding on in the streets are good examples of those Class 2 and Class 3 e-bikes. That thing that's over there, that's a Sauron, that's an example of what a lot of people I feel lump in Class 1 e-mountain bikes like that with. That Sauron doesn't even fit in the three-class system of e-bikes because its top speed is too high. It's an electric dirt bike, and it's more comparable to the bikes that you saw at the Supercross races at Angel Stadiums last month. That motorcycle over there does run trails due to the immense power it has and those chunky tires that are on it, and mountain bikers pretty much all agree that those things should not be allowed on OC Park trails. In this document from the U.S. advocacy group People for Bikes, it cites studies done by the USDA Forest Service in the Tahoe National Forest that show Class 1 electric mountain bikes do not significantly alter public enjoyment or affect the patterns of use on those trails. In most places, traditional mountain bikes and Class 1 e-bikes have similar effects on the physical trails and the public use patterns. Regardless of age, physical cognitive ability, those kind of Class 1 e-bikes give great assistance to those kind of people. The bike that's right there, the gray one, is an example of a regular analog or acoustic mountain bike, and a lot of people would be hard-pressed to find the differences unless they were actually shown. I do happen to work in the cycling industry, and my real job is in HR, and the main thing I do is making sure my employees are happy. I do hold a lot of group rides, and on almost every single one, I've had people show interest in the rides, but then ultimately they back out once they find out that we don't have e-bikes for them to use because it's illegal and you don't want to have that liability in case they get a ticket on those trails. I did attend the January Trail Subcommittee meeting, and one of the things they talked about was how they can increase trail usage among the senior community. Class 1 e-mountain bikes would be a great way for someone to explore these beautiful trails and spaces that we have here. And due to the relatively high price on e-mountain bike, which is several thousand dollars, it wouldn't mean that automatically the kids would be out there on an e-mountain bike. So I would like the council to read the document, put it in public record, and please make a recommendation to look into changing the rules. I want to be able to take my parents and coworkers out on a nice trail ride.
Thank you. And that's for the staff. Okay, our next speaker is Kevin Thauer, please.
Hello, my name is Kevin Tomer. I have been a citizen of Orange County for 25 years, and I would like to discuss the changes going on at Miles Square Park as part of phase two of Miles Square Park's expansion, specifically the expanded parking that is being planned as part of that. I am requesting that parking be limited to just events and holiday parking, as the parking lots are never full at Monster Park, and the new expansion area is very wonderful and has been enjoyed by all of the people visiting the park as part of a car-free area. And I'm hoping that the committee would see that there's benefit in having more car-free areas in our parks, especially given the fact that the parking lots are never full there. And I'm requesting to be informed of what you would like to see as far as polling or signatures to make that actually happen. There would be zero budgetary requirements for this, as gates already exist that would be able to block off that parking. So there would be virtually zero expenses to increase. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, is there anyone else that would like to address the commission? Okay, I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Have we received any correspondence?
We have not received any correspondence.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question.
Sure.
On the last speaker. Is he asking that on some days there's no parking at all?
He's specifically talking about the expansion area that right now is under construction.
So just in the expansion area, at some periods of time, there would be no parking in the expansion area?
That is what he's requesting.
That's what he requested. Okay.
Cool. Okay, we have a special evening tonight because we're going to make a presentation. We have a presentation tonight in gratitude for our OC Parks volunteer, Don Benefield. And he has done some marvelous things of which we're going to hear about tonight. And we have a little memento that he can hang on his wall. So Pam, it's all yours.
All right, thank you so much. So. Mr. Benefield joined the Caspers Park Foundation in 1978 and has volunteered exclusively at Caspers Wilderness Park for over 46 years. I mean, it's amazing. As a volunteer, Mr. Benefield has led hot springs hikes and contributed to the invasive plant eradication efforts. He also managed trail cameras and supported Dr. Winston Vickers with UC Davis on the California Mountain Lion Project. In addition to his volunteer work, he has served on the Caspers Park Foundation Board of Directors, including as Vice President and President. During his time at Caspers, he has accumulated more than 17,000 volunteer hours and has been recognized as Caspers Park Foundation Volunteer of the Year. I mean, he's so impressive. Our Caspers Park Foundation volunteers are invaluable in assisting and supporting park staff in their efforts to maintain and improve the park experience for the general public. I mean, we've all talked about our volunteers, and tonight it's really special to be able to recognize someone who is extra special. So tonight we would like to present Mr. Benefield with a certificate of recognition and gratitude for the service and contributions to OC Parks over the years, and we wanted to ask if you would like to say any words.
Being able to do all of this with Caspers has always been the joy of my life to do this. So I just wanted to say thank you very much and look forward to more years. Thank you.
Consent items. We can take them all at one time. Staff, is there anything we need to pull?
There is not.
Commissioners, anything you would like to pull? Any items? Okay, is there a motion to approve our minutes for December 5th?
Second.
Is there a second? Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? That passes. No abstentions. Discussion items. Now we will move to discussion calendar. And our first item is OC Parks Trail Subcommittee meeting update.
Perfect. So tonight we have Janine Cassiello, who is going to give that report.
Good evening. Well, we opened up 2025 with the first quarter trail subcommittee. It was held on January 9th, and it included two discussion calendar items. The first was the subcommittee reviewed an overview, received an overview of the Red Rock Wilderness. It's the newest park to open, and we're going to be seeing that a little bit later. This item was received and filed. And then the second was the subcommittee reviewed and selected names for the five trails and one overlook at Red Rock Wilderness as well. They provided the recommended names along with a couple different alternatives for the trails and the overlook. And eventually we'll be going over that tonight. And the next subcommittee meeting is on April 9th. And if there's any questions.
Did you have a date for that?
April 9th.
April 9th?
Yes.
Okay, what's the time?
6 p.m.
Is it 10th?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry, the 10th.
The 10th,
oh.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
No, you're right there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I apologize for that.
It's already in my calendar.
Very good.
I'm sorry about that.
I know.
Everybody okay with that date?
Okay.
All right, good. This is a receive and file item. Is there any other discussion? Is there a motion to receive?
So moved. I'll move.
John moved it.
I'll second.
Haley seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Anybody abstain? That passes. Item B. We are now moving to discussion tonight on Red Rock Wilderness. This will be an overview and selection of the wonderful names.
This is exciting.
That we picked. Our subcommittee picked.
Yes, so you are correct. So tonight we have special guests. We have Antonio Valdez, our Trails and Mapping Administrator. Who's going to present the item?
Good evening. I'm Antonio Valdez. As Pam mentioned, I'm the Trails and Mapping Administrator, and I will be presenting Red Rock Wilderness Overview and Trail Naming. So we'll begin with a background of Red Rock Wilderness and its location. We'll then move on to the planning and improvements that have occurred in this area. At this point, we'll transition to the second topic of our presentation, trail naming. The OC Parks Trail Subcommittee has proposed recommended names for five newly established trails and an overlook in the wilderness for the Commission's approval. So we'll begin that second portion discussing the trail network, and then we'll move on to the trail naming process, how we arrived at the names we're presenting to you this evening. We'll go over the individual trail names and the overlook, and then finally we'll conclude with the recommended action. Red Rock Wilderness is located southeast of Irvine Lake in the foothills of the Santa Ana Mountains along Santiago Canyon Road. It's approximately 1,500 acres, and it has 8 miles of newly established single track trails. It gets its name Red Rock Wilderness from the dramatic red rock faces that you can see on Black Star Canyon Road. It's protected by 3 conservation plans and easements that safeguard habitat for a variety of plants and animals, including bobcat, mule deer, and gray fox, as well as a large number of birds, including some endangered ones, such as the least-bells vireo, the California gnatcatcher, and the coastal cactus wren. And you can see the location of Red Rock Wilderness on the map in front of you. This land was donated by the Irvine Company in 2014. Between 2015 and 2019, we developed and completed the interim recreation and resource management plan. In 2020 and 2021, we conducted baseline biological surveys to inventory and monitor the area's flora and fauna. Also in 2021, we performed preliminary trail routing. In 2022 and 2023, we formalized the final trail routes. And then we opened for managed public access in 2024. We will now transition to the second part of this presentation, trail naming. To start, we will provide an overview of the trail network. The trails were planned and designed with sustainability in mind and to avoid sensitive habitat and cultural resources.
The trails were constructed in collaboration with contracted services, including the Irvine Ranch Conservancy. And we have an image of our maintenance team hard at work brushing one of the single tracks. And then here we have an example of some of the spectacular vistas that are common throughout the wilderness. As I mentioned earlier, there are 8 miles of newly established multi-use trails in the wilderness that offer breathtaking views of the surrounding landscape. And I'd like to turn your attention to the map now to point out some of the features and some of those landmarks. So these dark dashed lines, they represent the 5 newly established trails. The parallel dashed lines that bisect the wilderness, that represents Red Rock Ridge Road. Red Rock Ridge Road predates the establishment of the wilderness itself. And so we're only going to be focused on naming the 5 newly established trails. The icon of binoculars in the southeastern portion of the map, that represents the scenic overlook. The scenic overlook is the high point of the wilderness. And the photo on the left is actually taken at the scenic overlook. It shows turkey vultures perched there. Outside the wilderness, we have the St. Augustine staging area. It's located right here. It's not labeled on the map, but it's the primary access point for visitors entering the wilderness. Santiago Canyon Road runs to the south. Black Star Canyon Road is out of frame, but it runs to the east. And then also out of frame is the Bob Swenson Memorial Airfield. That's to the north. It's visible from Trail 4 and Trail 5. And then Irvine Lake is to the northwest. The images on the right showcase some of the diverse flora and fauna in the area. The names we are presenting to you this evening were suggested by the public. We conducted public surveys between May and August of 2024 at the Augustine staging area during public programs, including Wilderness Access Days. We then reviewed the feedback to ensure that those names complied with OC Park trail naming policies, specifically to ensure that they complied and to ensure that those trail names were not taken by other trails in the greater OC Parks trail network. We then organized the feedback. For example, if a trail name lends itself to a particular trail, we then matched that name to that trail. The trail subcommittee reviewed 3 naming options for each of the 5 trails in Overlook. After consideration, the subcommittee selected their preferred options. While most of the names have alternative suggestions for your review, one name was chosen unanimously. We will now review the naming recommendations for each trail in Overlook, followed by a summary for your approval of the proposed names. And we'll begin with Trail 1. Trail 1 starts on the lower slopes of the western portion of the wilderness and then snakes its way up to Red Rock Ridge Road. The theme of this trail is animal or feature. The recommended name is Dragonfly Trail. So dragonfly for 2 reasons. The first is that dragonflies are frequently seen on the lower portion of this trail. The other reason is because of the trail route. It's darting and winding, similar to the flight path of a dragonfly. An alternative name is Mesa Meadows Trail. Mesa for the prominent mesa-like geological features visible from the trail. And Meadows highlights the trail's open grasslands. And the images we have on the screen are that of a native dragonfly, the red-mantled saddlebags. And then the image on the left captures some of the breathtaking views that you can see on the trail. Moving on to Trail 2. Trail 2 skirts along the lower southeastern slopes before turning abruptly to the scenic overlook. The theme of this trail is native mammals, and the recommended name is Tukut Trail. So, Tukut means wildcat in the Tongva language. The Tongva are an indigenous people of Orange County. Wildcat because of the frequently cited bobcats and mountain lions that we see on our trail cameras, as evidenced on the image on the left. An alternative name is Gray Fox Trail. Gray foxes are also frequently seen on the wildlife cameras. It was also a name that was suggested several times in the public survey.
Actually, that was the top pick.
Trail no, three.
The gray was the top pick. Great.
Trail three, like trail one and trail two, begins on the lower southwestern slopes and makes its way up to Red Rock Ridge Road. The theme of this trail is native plants. The recommended name is Chia Trail. So Chia is a native flowering plant. You can see it in the upper right. It has these striking blue flowers. Chia produces an abundant seed yield, and so that plant was indispensable to indigenous people because they harvested the seed. An alternative name is Doveweed Trail. So Doveweed is also a native species. It thrives in sunny and exposed areas. You can see it blanketing the floor of this woodland on the left. And then we have a close-up view of its flower, which is quite minuscule in person, on the right. Doveweed also produces a lot of seed, so it's a really important food source for wildlife, especially small birds and mammals. Trail 4 starts at the scenic overlook, and it follows a ridgeline down to where it meets with Trail 5. Now, along Trail 4, there are many rocky faces and cliffs that provide roosting and nesting sites for birds. Also, you can see the airfield, the Bob Swenson Memorial Airfield, very clearly to the north from this trail, which is why the theme of this trail is birds in flight. The unanimous recommended name for this trail is Raven Ridge Trail. So ravens are frequently seen on this trail. They're also acrobatic flyers, so that's a nod to aviation, and thus it's an homage to the airfield to the north. Trail 5 begins at the end of Trail 4, and then it follows the toe of the slope up to Red Rock Ridge Road. The recommended name is Golden Star Trail. Golden Star Trail is this flowerhead on the left. Golden Star is a fascinating plant. It's a geophyte, which means above ground it resembles an annual plant, but it's actually a perennial in disguise. Each year it sprouts a single stem and a single leaf, which die back seasonally. But its underground bulb stores energy and regrows a new stem and new flower head each year for years to come. An alternative name is Paintbrush Trail. So Paintbrush is imaged here. Paintbrush is a native genus of flower. Red was a common theme in the survey, and so this flower represents that theme. And last but not least, we have our overlook. So the overlook is the high point in the wilderness. It has a platform and bench. The recommended name for the overlook is Wild Sage Overlook. And that's because the wilderness is rich in sage plants. It also boasts a diversity of sage species. It has at least four species of native sages. And you can see an image of black sage flowering. An alternative name is Aura Overlook. So that's actually a reference to turkey vultures. Turkey vultures frequently perch here, as is shown on this photo. The Latin name of turkey vulture is Cathartes aura. The other reason is because aura also means something that has a distinctive atmosphere to it, which is certainly true of this location. The recommended action is approve the names for 5 trails and 1 overlook at Red Rock Wilderness as recommended by the OC Parks Trail Subcommittee. To recap, the recommended names are as follows. Dragonfly Trail for Trail 1, Tukut Trail for Trail 2, Chia Trail for Trail 3, Raven Ridge Trail for Trail 4, Golden Star Trail for Trail 5, and Wild Sage Overlook for the overlook. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions and turn it over for the commission to approve the recommended names as proposed by the OC Parks Trail Subcommittee.
That was a great presentation. Thank you for that. The only thing I tried to point out, and I'm sorry I interrupted you, was Gray Fox. That was the number one pick of the, when the public put their name in. But the other one, identify the species that probably is not as prominent, but it's something that's special, and that's why we ended up picking that one. Are there any questions that you would like to know about the names?
Not about the names, but just what differentiates Fortify? Is there a terrain feature that says, oh, obviously you're going off of Trail 4 and 5?
I'll let somebody who works more closely with that park answer that question.
So I think, is your question, why isn't it just Trail 4?
Yeah. Why isn't it just
There's actually a delineation between Trail 4 and 12.5, which you can't see here, right. But it's obvious when you're actually on the trail.
Okay. So it like a draw or a ridge?
I'm trying to remember exactly, but I know that we knew we were going from Trail 4 to Trail 5 when we were on it.
Justin?
Justin, yeah, sure. Yeah. Justin, can you pop your kids? So this is Justin Sikora. He is our operations manager in open space.
Hi.
There's actually a little meadow right there, and that's the trailhead from the airfield staging area, and it's pretty obvious. It's a V, so you go one way or the other, and it's very clear. Actually, Trail 4 climbs very steeply right there, and you see a nice little gradual rise to Trail 5.
But here it looks like it's just one.
Yeah. Yes. It does. In fact, I noticed that when I was looking in the back.
It's not because it looks contrived. Yeah. On just the scale of the map. Yeah. So, okay.
Great question. Thank you. Thank you, Justin.
Sure.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Kate.
I'm really interested in the use of the word wild in the Overlook name. Like, what can you talk to me a little bit about the discussion that went into adding wild rather than just sage or a specific species of sage? Mm. I guess. I kind of am looking at the biologist in the audience to see if she feels comfortable talking about wild.
Yeah, I'll let her answer that.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was really based.
Jennifer, can you come up here, please, and introduce yourself? Thank you.
Sorry.
We have no control.
This is Jennifer Nagley.
Hi, good evening. I'm the Natural Resources and Trails Manager for OC Parks. And the wild sage, that term, that was based on the public feedback. So that was a specific recommendation from the public surveys. And then we had some alternatives in there, black sage, purple sage. So we actually used the one that maybe encapsulated the many species of sage that are found out there, but that was the thinking behind it.
So you're comfortable with that term?
I am.
I trust your judgment.
Are you uncomfortable with it?
I'm not a botanist, so I'm going to withhold judgment.
Since I'm not aware of any sages in our Orange County area that have that common name, wild sage,
right.
I don't think there's a confusion with a specific species.
Okay.
And thinking of it from more of an interpretive perspective, it gives an opportunity to talk about all of the different species that grow in that area. And it really is a great view looking out over the sages that are carpeting the landscape. And depending on the time of year, you're seeing a little bit of different colors highlighted there.
Okay, perfect. I'm very comfortable with it.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Dave.
So I am a fan of a trail name that is easy to pronounce. So Trail 2 seems really hard to pronounce. What's the word?
Tukut.
Tukut?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So how do you remember that? I guess you stayed a bunch of times, huh?
Yeah, T is 2 and K-U-T-T is 2.
Too cute. Yeah.
It's too cute.
It's too cute.
It's a too cute trail?
Yeah.
Are you called, go to Trail T?
Last time I used that, I think I was in 8th grade.
It's Trail 2, so it's 2. And then it's a cute trail.
Cute.
So it's a cute.
So you actually say it that way, cute?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too cute to
too
change.
Cute.
It's too cute to change. Okay. So it's the idea that we get to discuss and say, hey, I make a motion that we call this one that one and this one that one, and then we have conversation and we vote on it. Is that the play here today?
So there's a couple different ways we've done this in the past, where you can approve the slate as recommended, which would mean all the number ones, so the recommendation from the trail subcommittee. So if you decided, I really love all of the names that were recommended, my motion would be to approve the slate. If perhaps you think, I love everything, except I think we should use this alternative on trail whatever, then you can do that too. So it's up to you, how you want to do it.
It's up to you.
Well, yeah, the meeting was great. We spent about an hour, maybe even longer. I think it was an hour. Almost true.
There's a lot of thought, yeah, obviously, that went into this.
Yeah, what we ended up doing is we looked at the geography of the land, the topography, the geography. We looked at the flora, whether it was wild, something that was local. We counted animals. But the most important thing was we listened to the public. And that was probably one of the big factors. Not one of these was not recommended by the public. We didn't come up with any of them. So everything up there is by public choice. I think that's very important. Which one do you want to change, Dave?
The 2 cute was tough until we talked about it a little bit, and then it's 2 cute. Is that really how you say it? That's not what I heard. It's 2 cute?
You got it? How would you pronounce it?
I said 2 cute.
2 cute.
2 cute.
Yeah.
But you can say it however you want.
You can say it however you want.
We can put it in the box, right? Yeah.
When you go down there, you're going to say, where's trail 2?
Why wasn't there a second one for trail 4?
It was unanimously approved. They said this is what it needs to be.
I forgot what the difference is between a raven and a crow.
A lot of people forget.
What's the difference?
Because they're both black. I mean, the reality is that when you see it far away, everyone always thinks it's a crow no matter what. But there are some distinct features between the two.
When you see a raven.
You can ask Edgar Allan Poe.
Smaller, I think.
Ravens are big.
Oh, ravens are big. All right. Mm-hmm. So I showed you that. I totally don't know now. All right. And then for some reason, paintbrush sounded really neat. Why did they like Golden Star? Do you remember?
Yeah.
In number 5?
The Golden Star was picked over paintbrush because of the type of vegetation that was there. It was really blossomed. And paintbrush was more of, just like it is, a paintbrush. Mm. So they specifically picked the majority of the color. But I think that was the reason for that. Was that right on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I'd like to just move the item, recommend the action as is. So I'll make the motion.
Okay, is there any other discussion? Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Anybody abstain? Thank you, that passes. We now have names for the...
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're now at that happy, happy time when we get to hear from our director of OC Parks.
Thank you very much. So I have a few quick updates. I think you probably have heard that we do have a new district supervisor for D1, Supervisor Nguyen, and she was sworn in officially at Miles Square Park on January 8th. And then just so you know as well, on the board's agenda next week is to fill that position. So the D1 vacancy that was left. So as long as that all goes well, hopefully we'll see that new person at our next Parks Commission meeting. A reminder that the Form 700 filings are due. You received an email. Don't get in trouble, just fill them out and send them in. If you don't, then you get in trouble, and then I'll get the reminders, and I'll remind you. Subcommittee membership. So we just talked a lot about today about the trail subcommittee. We did have a resignation. Our subcommittee trail member, Suzanne Martin, resigned her service, and she had served since July of 2022, and she had represented hikers, cyclists, and equestrians, so she was kind of a jack of all trades. So we obviously will miss her. Furthermore, we also have two that have that are up for their terms are expiring. Both of them have expressed interest in continuing their service. So we do have one that is open, so we will be needing to fill that, and then the other two could be changed out, but they would like to stay, so our recommendation would be to continue having them serve.
We talked about adding time to the tenure, I thought.
Correct, but we haven't
done
it.
2 years?
We haven't done it.
It's 2 years, right?
It's 2 years, 2 year terms.
Yeah.
And it's something that we can do, but not today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about speeding that up?
Well, we can look at adding that to a future agenda.
Yeah.
For consideration, yeah.
Pam, you want to go over the process of how we get to fill those positions?
Correct. So first, we want to make sure that you all know that there is a position open. So on the Parks website, on the Trails Subcommittee page, there's actually information on how to apply to become a member of the subcommittee. And so if you know anybody that would be interested, make sure that they apply. And then this then will come to be reviewed. I love that. This is good. This will be reviewed then by staff first to make sure that the application is complete. Then it is shared with our two Parks Commission representatives. They will then review the applications, and then they will make a recommendation for their choice to this commission, who then will approve or disapprove.
What's the timing like?
We should be having this, I think it's due, do you remember?
I believe by the end of next week.
The applications
are due by the end of next week, correct.
Great.
Get them in, correct,
yeah.
Quickly. And then we also do have some applications that are also already submitted. So anybody else, this is the time to do it. Any other questions on that one?
Not on the, but going back to the supervisor, Lynn, can we update page 3 for club?
On page 3?
Just so it's in there.
Oh.
For picture.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, on your binders. Yeah, we can do that. We can update your binders. That's a great point. Thank you. You're welcome.
And thank you for the Instagram post. I saw that it was on social media as well to get more people to be able to visibly see it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for following.
No, yeah.
And if anybody else is not following,
yeah,
you should follow us, OC Parks. We're on everything. Well, not everything. We're on a lot. We're on Facebook, Twitter, or X, I guess. I'm old.
Instagram.
Not on Tinder yet.
Does this mean
we are not.
YouTube. I don't know, check that one out.
Does this mean we found the one?
I love it. It's great.
One more question, yeah. Just on process. Will Chair Schauffer and I see all of the applications
you
come
will.
In?
Okay. You will.
Thank you.
And if they're not complete, we go back to the individual and ask them more questions. They're usually complete, they're usually pretty good, but every once in a while someone forgets to put some information. We actually need information for you to be able to make a decision.
Right.
So if they've just submitted their name, we go back and say, can you please give us a little bit of background so that we actually know what you're interested in, what your background is.
Thank you.
What's really good is we're very lucky with the Trails Committee because we have somebody that hikes, somebody that bikes, and somebody that rides.
Yeah.
So we try to hopefully get applicants so that we can keep a nice balance.
Yeah.
So that when the committee makes decisions, we actually have somebody that's experienced the use of our trails in those three categories.
Seems like we're kind of losing the equestrian component. So
we still will have somebody that is from the equestrian community without this person. But I think that's something to keep in mind is that I think we only have one member now that still is in the equestrian area.
Yeah, we want to be balanced.
Correct. And then we also had some really high wins recently. I think you guys saw that. We, even though we were very fortunate as far as fires during this red flag warning and high winds, we did close some of our parks temporarily during different stages for safety reasons. We have been asked in recently by some of the cities is why you close a park, and it's really for the public safety. So if we feel like there's a lot of debris, we're going to close it. We don't want people to get hurt when they come into our parks. So it's really making sure that we are safe and that the patrons that come in are safe. And then we try to reopen as quickly as possible. We also lost some power, so if we don't have power, that's also another reason that we might close a park. So we really look at all these things, and safety is always and always will be our number one priority. So we did have a little bit of damage, and that's something that we always make sure that we try to clean up as quickly as possible. And then we had some rain, which really helped. So we just don't want to have too much rain at once. We like it when it rains lightly overnight. So it's really helpful, and then everything's nice and clean when everybody comes in the morning. And then we also had, there was a sewage spill that you might have heard about, that some of the reports were talking about that it was in Wiganinagaw Regional Park. It was not our spill. Multnomah Water District has a sewage line that goes through underneath our park. It was their spill. They're the ones who reacted and responded. Our team did an excellent job of making sure they responded quickly to make sure that they appropriately notified the right people, and it was stopped as quickly as possible, but there was some spillage that ended up going into the ocean, and that was dealt with accordingly, but wanted to make sure that that was on your awareness, that it was not a park spillage, even though it was reported in making it sound like it was an OC park spillage. It actually wasn't. It was more like a water district, but they reacted very well, and they did appropriately respond to it and got that cleaned up as quickly as possible and the right way, which we really appreciated. And that concludes the comments that I have tonight, and then you have a few different events that are listed in your agenda as well, but happy to answer any questions that you might have.
One of the things I wanted to mention was I had asked, we had the very first ranger, I forget his name, we had the first ranger at Irvine Park.
There's Mike Stein.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he recently died or passed away. And so I thought it would be nice to have some kind of a memento for that, or a memorial. There's two things. I know I got half of it, but I haven't got the other half yet. But I'm still working on it. Pam, you want to tell them about the award that we might be talking
about? Yeah, so actually I didn't have Mike do it.
Yeah.
I've been talking too much tonight. Deputy Director Mike Wilson, you look so spiffy tonight.
Thank you, Pam. I'm honored to speak on it. So obviously Mike Kern was the first park ranger in Orange County among our legendary park ranger profession. We're among the best regional park ranger systems and programs in the country. We have a storied Ranger Academy, right? We're on Ranger Academy number 10 right now. We have a graduation coming up May 1st. Like in the past, you'll have a chance to meet our Rangers coming up and be able to attend the graduation as well. We thought creatively internally on what would be the best way to honor a Ranger current in perpetuity. But do it in a way to honor his legacy, and we can also invite his family out. We have a couple awards for the Ranger Academy every year. The most prestigious award is the Outstanding Recruit Award. So it's the ranger that achieves the highest rank among the peers in every single category through academics, scenarios, practical field stuff. So we are going to officially, formally rename that award the Mike Curran Outstanding Ranger Award in dedication of his name. So all the other Ranger Academies that will come forward after this point, which is, if you ever go to the Sheriff's Department, you'll see Ranger Academy 50, 60, or whatever. And then under, every plaque will have the, Outstanding Recruit, Mike Curran Outstanding Recruit Award. So that's how we thought it would be really fitting to honor him. We can bring out his family. We can kind of share the history of his service when we go ahead and dedicate this first award to one of our very deserving, amazing top rangers in this Academy number 10. So that was our idea, and we thought it would be very fitting. Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Thank you. Yeah. And then did a proclamation from the board.
Yeah.
You should get the board supervisor to do a proclamation so that
They make a really nice one. It might be nice if you give that to the family.
That's something we can definitely work through. And I think that's a really, really good idea that we should definitely look into. It completes the storytelling, the naming, and then here's the actual like formal recognition. So.
If you get a hold of Don Wagner, Scotty, he'll take care of that for you.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that's
a great idea, and I think having the presentation from the board to give the family when we honor them doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that.
Absolutely.
Also, in April, might want to put those two dates. The OC Parks Foundation is going to have award presentations to about 95 students.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be sending out that information if you'd be interested in attending. It's kind of cool. They're both on the same time, the same site, but different days. So we'll send that out to you.
The Parks with a Purpose program. So it's a really great program that we put on and the foundation pays for it. And it's helping students understand the reason why we want to preserve our parks and why parks are necessary, and it's this fantastic educational program. And so, you know, obviously Parks is very grateful to the foundation, and Chair Shaver is our Parks Commission representative on the foundation, and so it's just really wonderful.
And Pam is the chairwoman.
Yes, I am. I'm representative coming from as the Parks Director.
Now, if we can just get some fish in Irvine Lake so we can have a fishing derby, that's my next goal. Yes, I tell you.
We've done it, yeah.
All right, we'll start down at the end. John, you have anything you'd like
to add? No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay, Haley?
No,
Tom? Dave?
Yes. I would like to see Orange County Parks approve Class 1 mountain bikes by the end of May 2025. We've waited long enough with this. The presentations with both of the gentlemen tonight were spot on. These bicycles help for fun, they help for health, they help for goodwill. It's connection. It does not wreck the trails. And we've sat on this too long and we've talked about it too long. It's been well over 2 years and it's enough. And we're not doing enough quick enough. And so I would like to see Class 1 electric bikes approved in Orange County Parks by the end of May.
Okay, and that, along with that, is there any specific area, or you just open the whole?
Whatever trail you can ride on with a regular mountain bike, you can ride on with that bike.
Okay, so it would be in the same category as a regular bike?
Regular bike.
Okay, so we'll probably put that on the agenda so that we can discuss that.
We can talk about the process. I don't know if we'd be able to do it by May, because this is also, it's a county ordinance. So there is a process to be able to do that, and we also have to work with the regulatory agencies. But what we can do is we'll bring it to our Parks Commission meeting for consideration.
If you and for those of you in the audience that spoke, you can also get information to the Board of Supervisors. There's five of them. If you can,
wonderful.
If you need to talk to them or their staff, they're very open, and they can also give you a yay or nay how they feel about it. If a majority of the supervisors want to do that, then that action will take place. So having these presentations, the package that you present, are very positive. We just want to make sure that they get there. But it's your responsibility to knock on the door, talk to the supervisor that represents you or your district, and tell them what you want. We are just an advisory board to the Board of Supervisors.
I want to comment one other time. So that makes total sense that multiple people should be talking to their supervisors for this as well as for talking to us. I will not lobby any more than I just did right now for this, because I am in the bicycle business. And I don't want people to think that I want to do this so that I could buy a house on the hill. This is not going to be buying anything more for us at any time. So this will be the only time that I'm talking about it. I've been holding my tongue for years. And then I said, after this tonight, it's enough. We need to do more about it.
Yeah, well, the good thing is that we can get it on the next agenda. And then if the majority of this body feels positive of the way of what we're doing, then we can then send that recommendation to the board, at that point.
Very good.
And I think the public and coming from us, then they make the ultimate
decision. So if you could also talk to your council and see if I should be in that conversation of the meeting. I'm more than happy to be in it, and I'm more than happy to go sit outside while you're having the conversation. So I don't want to...
Yeah.
You know, the thing is if a decision was made that only would be benefit you, then yeah, you have to exclude yourself.
Yeah, I'm more than
happy. I don't want to talk too much about this since it's not on the agenda tonight. So I understand what you're asking for.
I understand what you're saying. Telling them that if I get something that affects everybody, that doesn't affect you.
I got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I have a couple comments. Thank you, staff, for the presentations. They're great. Happy Black History Month, for one. And if my colleagues would indulge me, I'd like to close out tonight's meeting on behalf of Helen M. Schutt, who was the founder of the Orange County Black History Parade, which was hosted this year in Anaheim, my district. It was a great parade, and it's always great to see all different cities come together for unity, for progress. So I just want to close that out for Helen and Chip. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing that.
John.
Just want to recognize a happy Lunar New Year. I've seen a lot of lion dances, and I'm good for the year. My takeaway from the meeting is too cute, so there we go.
I was so happy that finally the festivals and the parades all got together this year. We had one parade. John and I sat there for almost 3 hours. It was really cool because my PCTA filmed it. But then we got a chance to go to Garden Grove Park, which was really packed. It was great. And so it's nice to just have everybody come together for a tent and not everybody have their own little thing. Mm-hmm. And I assume that our employees at Miles Square Park were also very happy at Garden Grove Park because I saw a lot of smiles. So it worked out well for everybody. It was well received, and we're looking forward to next year. I promised my city council that I have a car for them they can light in, so they're very excited. Okay, anything else before us? All right. As John said, Happy New Year to all of you. Be safe, watch the roads, and take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.